Good morning. You've tuned into the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. This is Panhandle Community Radio, and I'm Jack. Across from me is Jim. We are your usual Thursday morning co-hosts on December the 12th.
On the 12th day of Christmas? No, that's hardly. And in the studio with us is somebody whom we normally do not see on a Thursday. You usually find him on a Saturday evening. From the 70s, Mike Bauer is here with us, and Mike's going to be sharing some information about a new exciting program that's going to be at East Bonner County Library, Our Earth, Our Ethics. It's a book group. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning.
It's a sloppy one out there.
It's a messy one.
A dang mess.
It's a morning that you should wear your, get this, when's the last time you heard this word, galoshes?
I've heard the word. I don't think I've ever worn galoshes.
I think it's a generation gap. Yeah. I used to wear galoshes when I was a child. Did you, Mike?
Yeah, I wore muckalucks.
Ooh, muckalucks. Galoshes, muckalucks, barefoot.
Yeah. Exactly, barefoot. So galoshes are just the classic like rubber rain boot?
Yeah.
Do they go over your shoes or do they?
They could.
Is that your only goal? That's.
They were rubber and they buckled.
Yeah,
and
they
had a little bit
high.
Of a liner inside, but not much.
Yeah, not much. They really didn't work if the snow got over. And when you're a kid, nothing works.
Yeah.
I mean, you're going to get water everywhere.
Yes.
And, but I can remember as a kid getting water inside my boots with my shoes and going slush, slush, slush. But the joys of childhood.
Mm-hmm. As a shoveler, yesterday was beautiful. It was nice, light snow
that
you just blow on it and it would just get out of the way. And today it is disgusting. I tried to lift a shovelful and I didn't go very well this morning.
So. It's part of the time of the year.
Yeah. So we have the forecast here for North Idaho. Today, rain and snow likely before 11 a.m. and then it becomes just rain. Patchy fog before 1 p.m. The snow level today, I don't know if they've been providing this in years past, but they provide it now. 2,900 feet. So that's what?
Above 2,900 feet, you get snow. Below 2,900 feet, you get galoshes weather.
Yes. So figure out where you are, and that will tell you how to dress. High near 40 degrees today. Light southwest wind. Well, a southwest wind of 7 to 9 miles an hour. 80% chance of precipitation. Rain and snow tonight, mainly before 5 a.m. tomorrow morning. The snow level drops to 2,600 feet tonight.
Ooh.
Yeah. Low around 32. A chance of rain and snow tomorrow before 5 p.m. And then rain tomorrow night. Mostly cloudy with a high near 38 degrees. Rain and snow showers tomorrow night before 7. And then a chance of snow showers overnight tomorrow. 20% chance of snow showers on Saturday. Patchy fog before 11 a.m. Otherwise cloudy with a high near 34 degrees on Saturday with a calm wind. 20% chance of showers on Saturday night and patchy freezing fog before 11 a.m. on Sunday. That's the forecast as of the moment.
And like any forecast, it could change in the next moment.
Yes, it certainly has changed since yesterday, and who knows what will happen tomorrow. But
I want to give a few shout-outs to technology, as I always do on Thursday. My sister in Arlington, Virginia, whom I will be seeing for close to 2 weeks. I fly out next Wednesday. In the Washington, D.C. area, thanks to Alexa. She just says, Alexa, 88.9 KRFY, and we are in their environment, their living environment. She said, cold spell, 32. That's what we're at. Would we call this a cold spell? We just call this just a normal day.
It feels warm, actually.
You bet. 32 at 9 a.m., high of 40 expected, bright and sunny. So that's a difference. But another thing I want to say about Incredible is that you can stream us online. You can listen to us to wherever you have computer access. And one of the things that I just find fascinating is technology. I can just stand agog at it. And I've got friends in Genzano di Roma. Now, that's a village south of Rome. And I met two cousins when I was hiking the Camino in 2013, Luigi and Roberto. And we have been keeping in touch. They send me an Italian calendar, and I send them an Idaho calendar. And that way, when we look at calendars, we think of each other, which I think is a neat idea. But they are listening right now. Luigi sent me an email right before I went on the air, and he had a photo of First Avenue. And he says, I see you're getting whitewashed with snow. And I just find that absolutely amazing that here we are in little old private little North Idaho. And on First Avenue, I guess the building at the end before it turns into Cedar Street, there's a camera up there that lets the world see how we are. But so I just want to say, Buon Natale e Felice Anno Nuovo. How's that?
That must be Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
You bet. Mm-hmm. In Italian. I tried. Mm-hmm. To his family, Luigi Eliana, that's his wife, daughter Daniela, and a son-in-law Angelo, and two adorable grandchildren, Julia and Ricardo. And then also to his cousin, Roberto and Gianna, Roberto Velletrani. I want to say thanks so much for tuning in. It makes me happy.
Let me, if I may,
no,
play.
Go ahead. Go
I'm
for it.
I'm going to play meteorologist again
and
give you the hazardous weather outlook. It's a red flag warning on the website provided to us by the National Weather Service. It is for portions of North Idaho and North Central Washington. Periods of heavy snow are likely today over the Cascade Crest in North Idaho Mountains. Travel will be likely be difficult over Stevens and Lookout Passes, with an additional 8 to 12 inches of snow accumulation expected on the passes.
Now, Stevens is the one out of Leavenworth?
I think you're right.
Isn't that the one out of Leavenworth?
I'm sure.
You know, when you go through Leavenworth, the Bavarian Village, and head on up, I think it is.
Mm-hmm. And that seems right to me. And then Lookout is between the Idaho and Montana border on 90. Heavy mountain snow Wednesday night through Friday is the winter storm warning. A moist westerly flow has set up across the region today through Friday, resulting in periods of moderate to heavy snow along the Cascade Crest, as well as North Idaho Panhandle Mountains. Upwards of 1 to 2 feet will be possible, with locally higher amounts on the Cascade Crest. Gusty winds could also result in areas of blowing and drifting snow. Travel across mountain passes will be hazardous at times. Snow is also expected for the northern valleys early this morning. So that's what's going on. In other words, I wouldn't try any major east-west traffic.
Well, and if you do, if you're anywhere in this area on the roads, pay attention, slow down, be courteous, and get to where you want to get to. And even if you're like 15 minutes late, that's okay, just so as long as you arrive and everyone else is safe. Sandpoint City Minute, I got here. One of the things I've been wondering about, you can't tell now, because it's all covered with snow, but there mm-hmm. was that white line that was about 3 feet jutting out from the curb, and people didn't know whether that's a bike lane, you don't park on it, and other people were right up against the curb, so you had an accordion effect while going down the street.
Mm-hmm.
This is from the folks who know. Please join us. Oh, this is something different. Please join us in supporting our local downtown businesses this holiday season. Absolutely, because they have been fenced in or fenced out, and this is a time the fences are down. Tear down that wall,
mm-hmm.
Shelby. Thank mm-hmm. you. And that wall is down, and now the businesses are open. When parking downtown, it's going to be difficult because it's covered with snow. You may notice the white lines adjacent to the curb. They were painted to create a temporary walking lane during construction. Parking next to the curb is now available and encouraged, especially as now as we have snow, because, you know, if you parked outside that white line, it really makes the two lanes small.
Mm-hmm.
The Sandpoint City Council has a full agenda next week, which will include proposed changes to the sidewalk code. Ooh.
Mm.
No walking side by side, but single file. What do you think, Michael?
We'll see what happens.
Yeah, tuck those elbows in. More information is available at the city's website and Facebook page, www.sandpointidaho.gov.
That's next Wednesday's meeting when they're going to discuss the changes?
They didn't say when. It said next week.
I think it's Wednesday nights usually.
Okay. Yeah. So if you want to learn about sidewalk code,
Yeah, I wonder what they're going to be discussing.
Sidewalk code.
Sure.
It's the residential city responsibilities regarding sidewalks going in and maintaining sidewalks.
Or shoveling snow and not shoveling snow. That
I
sort
believe
of thing.
So. Yeah.
Gosh, we need people from the library here more often.
Mm-hmm.
They have all the answers.
Okay. Speaking of whom? Well, here he is.
Here I am.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, gosh, if only I had a handheld device. Gosh, if only I had somebody from the library with us to answer these questions. Mike Bauer.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your official title?
I am coordinator of the Lifelong Learning Center, which is about 30 tutors that are under my coordination, and also coordinator of adult programs.
So one more, let's back up. I know you want to talk about the exciting program that's coming up beginning in January. When you said 30 tutors, whom do they tutor and what subject areas do they tutor in?
They tutor everybody. You know, we don't turn anybody down unless we have, well, if we have a volunteer to match them up, we try to keep that balance. That's one of the challenges of my job. But it's K through 12 and it's K through 99. I mean, it's adults
as
well.
So if you have adults coming in. Literacy. Who want to learn, you know, or refresh some math skills or whatever.
GED, just getting into college. Maybe they're a little behind and having a little difficulty with some of the early math courses in college. They come to see us, and we get people through the GED as well. So we do that. And so it's really math and English and writing and foreign language. English is a second language, so it's just whoever needs to be tutored.
Wonderful.
As well as the volunteers, wonderful volunteers that come in and act as tutors within the center.
Usually when I think of tutoring, I don't know about you, Jake, I think K-12, but you're talking about into infinity. Excellent. Tell us about the program coming up. Is that what you're here for, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a number of programs going up. We're always real busy at the library with programs, and it's wonderful when people show, so thank you for having me on. We are now distributing books for the Let's Talk About It program, which is the Idaho Commission for Libraries sponsors it, and we also coordinate it at the local level, but it's four books that are coming up that people read, and we have scholars coming in from the various colleges, and they're writers, and they're really well-known folks. And so it is the theme is Our Earth, Our Ethics, which I thought was very appropriate for the 50th anniversary of Earth Day that's coming up. So, and that'll be the last session. So it starts in January, on January 23rd. It is a noon program and comes in noon to 1 o'clock on the fourth Thursday of the month. So we have all kinds of information, but only three books left. So we can have more people if they have already read the book and don't need the book. They're welcome to come as well, and they can share books with other participants.
Talk about the books that you have left here, because I have heard of these, and
they're essential reading for the environmental area.
I've read three of them.
I've only read one of them, I think, and I've been looking for Go ahead.
Go for it.
Go ahead.
You know, we check out the books, and the first one is we're distributing now, and that is the Sand County Almanac by Aldo Leopold. It is a classic environmental read and very important. In February, we have Desert Solitaire by Edward Abbey, another very well-known environmental writer. And then we go into March, and we have The Botany of Desire by Michael Pollan, so another well-known author, and finishing up with Indian Creek Chronicles by Pete Fromm. So we think that there's some that most folks haven't read, and well, a lot of it's worth rereading.
And it's giving people enough time to purchase their own copy if they don't have a copy already. You know, these books are absolutely you know, the foundation of any sort of environmental literature that you want to read. You know, going back, Edward Abbey, Desert Solitaire. I think that's back in the 60s, early 60s, around Arches National Park. No, and the damming of the Powell Lake area and the beautiful. The one that fascinates me, though, is the Botany of Desire. They had on PBS, I think, a program dealing with apples, tulips, potatoes, and pot, and how they have manipulated man to do what's best for the whether it be the tulip or for the apple. You know, that we think, oh, we're doing it, but really it's they're controlling us. You know, what a fascinating concept. That just blew me away. And one of the things that blew me away that, you know, I did not know is that I eat an apple. Ooh, I like this. I'm going to take the seed and plant the apple seed so I can have that apple that I dearly love. You don't get that same apple again.
You don't.
No, no. Read Botany of Desire and see it. You don't. It's done with grafting and that sort of thing. But just because you have the apple seed and you plant it, doesn't mean you get the apple that you ate that you loved.
Interesting.
Oh, it's absolutely fascinating.
Okay. So that you just have to read that book by March 26th, and then you can discuss it in great detail.
Well, that's one of many things. You know, the thing about tulips, you know, at one time in the Netherlands, the tulips were like
that's
currency.
Yeah.
And the really rare ones were caused by a fungus or something that they could not duplicate. And just incredible stuff.
Yeah, yeah, plants are so important to our evolution and just fascinating. I have a little horticulture background and I loved it.
Well, can I ask you, have you read The Overstory by Richard Powers?
No, I have not.
It won the Pulitzer Prize. I just finished it and I want to thank, I won't say her last name, but Donna for telling me about it, and I've been telling everybody else. It's a book about people and trees, and it won the Pulitzer Prize 2 years ago. And people's relationship with trees, and it begins with 9 short stories of different people, and then how they all come together to, you know, the first chapter begins with the chestnut tree and ends up in Iowa. It's a great read, and it's a great Christmas read, Mike. I mean, what isn't it in Iceland you have that tradition on Christmas Eve you give a book and an apple? And then people go their own ways and read. Wow. I just think that that's got to be the neatest thing in the entire world. You know, on a nice snowy Christmas Eve, curling up with a book and an apple. But if you take the seeds out, you won't get the same apple. There's always a downside to it.
Sure.
Gosh. So tell me more about this program, Our Earth, Our Ethics. Who's behind it? The idea? How did that come about?
Once again, Friends of the Library is helping us, you know, just put on the program. So that really helps put on a quality program, helps with my time and so on so that I can do other programs, because the ideas far outweigh my time, of course. And this program started in Idaho in 1985. And so it went on till probably a couple, 3 years before I arrived. Maybe 7 years ago is the last time the East Bonner County Libraries had this program. So there was some talk about, you know, it's been really popular and very appropriate to what we do. We want that tie to literature as well as doing other things. And so we decided to do it. It costs us very little money through the library, so it's really kind of a no-brainer. And again, very popular. And I've given almost all the books out here in about a week or so, but there are 3 left. So come in today, sign a book out, and come on January 23rd.
And the library is located?
At the corner of Division and Cedar.
A lot of people don't know that, you know, and can you talk a little bit about the people who are going to lead the discussions?
You know, I don't know. I can read their bio, but I don't have it here.
You know, just briefly. You know,
one from the University of Idaho, so a couple are from Moscow, and one from another region, but they are authors. They are literature professors. At universities and, you know, well-known in this particular area. There are scholars that are assigned to various subjects, so there are a number of themes that I could choose from when I signed up for this program through the Idaho Commission for Libraries. And they're connected to this particular theme.
And they're the fourth Thursday at noon. I was just looking. We do have some 2020 calendars up in the station here, and that is the 23rd, the fourth Thursday in January at noon, and go to the library. And can one go online and get this list and read ahead?
Yeah, I do actually have it. It's within our events calendar. So if you go to ebonnerlibrary.org and click on events, then you can see January. And on January 23rd, it lists the program. But there's all kinds of information within all of those different listings of programs on our calendar. So you can go in there. We can attach PDFs. And so a lot of what we have in front of us is on the website.
I'm going to read just briefly a description, an overview, you know, because I think it's important. People are going, do I need another book to read? Or, as you said, it's the 50th anniversary. In the 21st century, we are challenged by the momentous environmental issues, serious interest not only in the natural environment, but also in our proper relationship to it, has long antedated our present anxiety over greenhouse gas emission, the hole in the ozone layer, and global warming. We may find ourselves dismayed as much as we are enlightened by what we read here. And then, after we have read and discussed the issues, what ought we to do? So this is a great, in terms of establishing a relationship with what's happening with the environment, and then discussing it, and then where does one go from there?
Mm-hmm, absolutely. I think with all the environmental challenges that we have now, that I think a lot of folks are kind of going, where do I fit into all this? You know, there's even a certain depression that's being diagnosed with, you know, looking at the climate change issue and going, what can I do? And is it hopeless? And all that kind of thing. And that's what we'll kind of attack during Earth Week. So we're already organizing that. So being the 50th anniversary is going to be big and better than last year even. And it'll be really awesome.
Is there a specific date? For what, Earth Day? What, April?
It's always April? The 22nd of April.
Jim, you've read A Sand County Almanac?
Yes, I have.
Desert Solitaire.
And Botany of Desire. I have not read Indian Creek Chronicles. I have read Pilgrim at Tinker Creek with Annie Dillard. And the other ones are new. So I've got William Kittredge. He's a Montana writer. He used to teach, if I'm not mistaken, at University of Montana, Missoula.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Mike, have you read all these books?
No, I have not. I mean, at least not recently.
Yeah.
You know, so I read the first two, you know, but I need to reread them. It's been a while.
Yeah.
So it'll be, and just connecting it to the discussion, it's good to have that fresh in your mind. And
you bet.
I do have questions and discussion. We want everybody to be involved in that and facilitate.
And the pacing, once a month, you know, rather than every week or something, I think that's wise. Once a month, that will bring people right up to April 22nd.
Yes, indeed.
You know, the first four. And who knows? You know, it could have a spinoff because there are a whole slew of environmental books worth reading.
Oh, you bet.
So if people want to participate, they just go to the library, check out the book, and then show up on the 23rd.
That's right.
There's three copies left of Sand County Almanac, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or
right.
As of this morning, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
They don't need to talk to you or anything like that?
No, but they can.
Okay.
Come in and see the info desk and mention the program.
We're talking to a librarian. Haven't you ever walked into a library and they're just like, ask me a question, please. You know, I want to be needed. I have this wealth of information. I love librarians. I mean, they just want to help. I think the whole world should be a librarian.
Everyone in the world.
In the world should, because we'd have just incredible world to live in. Because I just, I don't know about you, but I've always felt like a library is home.
Yeah, I do love going to the library. This one in particular.
We'd be on the radio until, you know, supper time tonight talking about how wonderful this library is and the people there, the staff they have. Let's take a break. and listen to a song, and then we'll come back with Mike Bauer and talk more about other programs at the library heading into the holidays, and then we'll repeat about Our Earth, Our Ethics, the fourth Thursday of January, February, March at noon. The song we're going to play is, I have to admit, and I'm sure you guys would too, in a moment of candidness, and this is a great shower song. I mean, along with I Will Always Love You, this song coming up is one that you just want to slather yourself up with soap and just sing. And this song was released on this date in 1964. So hop in the shower, slather yourself up with soap, and sing this song.
That love and feeling. Yep. Blue-Eyed Soul, that's right, by the Righteous Brothers. You've Lost That Love and Feeling, released on this very date in 1964.
Well, don't hold me to it, because the source I use is On This Date, musically, and it gives me a bunch of things to choose from. And then I go to Wikipedia, and it says released in November. So who to believe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
In this era, you gave a presentation on that, Mike, one time on... in terms of your sources about with news, what's fake news, evaluating your sources. So I'm in a quandary, Mike. I don't know whether it's November of 1974 or on this date.
64.
Yeah. Oh, 64. I'm sorry. That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not the 70s.
Yeah, you are the 70s.
I don't know. But, so I don't know. But what difference does it make?
Yeah,
it's a great song.
It is. Right? Yes, it's a great song. It's a classic sing-along song, as you were saying. Sing it in the shower. Sing it at karaoke night if you want
Bill
to.
Bill Medley and Bobby Hatfield.
Ah, Bobby Hatfield. Okay. Yes. Mm-hmm. Okay. So that the Righteous Brothers, and they also, as you were saying, had a hit with Unchained Melody, and I can't think of any other Righteous Brothers songs.
I'm sure they had a
handful.
We need Jerry Warren here.
Yeah.
We need to channel Jerry Warren. He would know. I think it was the fifth best-selling song of 1964 that entire year.
Okay.
A great song. And I don't know what else to say. I just want to hop in a shower.
Yeah. No, it does sound like that early 60s sound, even though this would be after the Beatles had arrived, but still.
I do want to say this was a song co-written by Phil Spector.
You can hear that.
Yep. I want to say, I could be wrong on this, but maybe I'm right, but this is one of the first top 40 wall of sound songs, where you're just like a wave washed over you.
So that's the Righteous Brothers.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
With You've Lost That Love and Feeling. We are here with Mike Bauer from the East Bonner County Library.
And he's sharing the loving feeling from the library.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Coordinator of the Lifelong Learning Center and Adult Programs at the East Bonner County Library. You usually there 9 to 5?
Yeah, 9 to 5:30, and Friday we close a little early. So, generally office hours.
But if somebody wanted to come and see you, that would be come during the business day.
You bet.
Okay. And they can talk to Mike about things like the book club, which we just discussed, and also coming up, you've got another Science Cafe.
Oh, yeah. Monthly. Mm-hmm. We have it on the third Wednesdays at 5:30, and we are going to talk about opioids, the opioid epidemic. I've got a couple of people that I know that are willing to share their experiences firsthand, with this and how it affected them. And, a lot of people didn't know what these particular drugs would do over the long term or how it would affect them.
And how addictive they were.
A lot of people. Exactly right.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are having Trina Kennedy come in, and she is clinical educator with Bonner General Health. So she'll come in at 5:30, and we want everybody to participate. This is a science-based discussion rather than a presentation. So it's the 18th at 5:30.
6 days from now, a week from yesterday.
Coming right up.
Okay, at 5:30 p.m., you're talking about the opioid epidemic with some personal experiences.
Come share your experiences, your concerns, mm-hmm. how to deal with the problem, you know, anything that is a concern or something you want to discuss.
Is she, remind me of the name of the presenter?
Trina Kennedy.
Trina Kennedy. Mm-hmm. And is she going to be talking, I mean, about the national epidemic or focusing all locally?
It really is driven by the audience. So one of the techniques that they use, take a whiteboard. What do you want to talk about today? Make a list. Mm-hmm. Go on down, and you know, then people participate, and they're an expert. They're an on-site expert rather than a presenter. Mm-hmm. So if there's some misinformation or misunderstanding about the particular topic, then you know they'll move them through that and guide them through that, so that everybody, you know, has the facts when they leave. There's a lot of, you know, misinformation out there, and this is, you know, attacking that particular issue. And so they're an on-site expert, and that's what they understand, that that's what they're going to do. And they're kind of relieved. They don't have to do some big PowerPoint. We don't want that.
Is opioid just a general term for pain medication?
It's I can't remember, but they're, you know, related to heroin and so on, but they're synthetic.
Oxycontin, that's my understanding. And things like that.
You know, hydrocodone.
Yeah,
Oxycontin and so on.
I have to admit, I share a lot of ignorance about it, but I do have a lot of fear of it. Mm-hmm. I just had some surgery this past mm-hmm. summer, and I was just so intimidated by it that I went with Tylenol, mm-hmm. You know, extra strength, mm-hmm. and because I'm familiar with that, and I was, you know, but I was underneath the illusion that, sort of like I feel this way about electricity, if you get too close to a plug-in in the wall, the electricity will jump out and hurt you. I'm that way about opioids. If I just open the container, you know, it's going to just...
It'll change your life.
Yeah, you know. I'm hooked. Yeah. I'm hooked. Yeah. You know, and so, that sounds like a great thing. A great event. So that's next Wednesday mm-hmm. At 5:30 in any specific room in the library?
Yes, community room B.
Cool. That is the 18th.
Yes, important presentation. And you know about how long these usually go?
Oh, about an hour and a half. We're done about 7. But it's whenever the audience drive it, you know. If we get done with the discussion, whenever.
Perfect. Yeah.
We can go till 9 if we want.
Cool. What else is coming up? You got another, there's another book club, a separate book club?
Yes, indeed. We have a great volunteer who just approached me and said, I want to do a book club. And this one is going to be all over the place as far as this different subjects. So mm-hmm. In March, for example, it's going to be a one, again, that's medically oriented, and it's called How to Be a Patient. And there's a book that's called How to Be a Patient that they'll read and come in and discuss it. How do I deal with the medical, you know, the medical community and being a self-advocate for as a patient? You know, do I bring somebody with me to an appointment? What questions do I ask? How do I deal with insurance? All of that.
I think now, who's leading this book club?
Marie Forbes. Is her name.
Okay.
And but she'll lead those, and she'll bring some people in, and the other one will be a memoir of family and culture in crisis by J.D. Vance, and another one that I thought would be really interesting is called The Whip, inspired by the story of Charlie Parkhurst. Do you know who Charlie Parkhurst was? And Charlie Parkhurst was a woman. And it wasn't discovered until after her death that she was a woman. So she was a stagecoach driver, and she could do a team of 6, and she was a sharpshooter, all of that. And everybody thought she was a man. She identified as a man. This was in the 1880s. So it's a very interesting book.
Wow.
And when does this book series begin?
This one's the first Tuesday at 7 p.m. So the first one will be January 7th, and if I'm right. And that'll be kind of an orientation, distributing the first book, and then, again, read it for a month, come back, discussion.
So at 7 p.m., how late does the library stay open?
7. But we're a library program. As long as the library staff or volunteers there, we're good to go.
Oh, that's wonderful.
So we can keep going.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Jim, you were a professor of literature.
Yes, right? I was.
With an emphasis in the 19th century.
19th century American lit.
So anymore, when you read a book, Do you always finish it? Even if, I mean, do you say halfway through, boy, I don't like this book, but I have to finish it, critically, you know, do you always finish it?
I do. But mm-hmm. I if I'm in the middle of a book and I'm reading it and it's losing my interest, I turn pages faster.
Mm-hmm.
But I somehow feel a commitment that if I begin it, just like the writer begins writing and follows it through to the end, that I feel an obligation to it. And, you know, I don't know how people do it. I have friends who have like 3 or 4 books, you know, that they're reading. And I don't have that skill set to jump from one book to another.
Yeah.
And so I'm sort of steady Eddie. You know, I just start and I go through.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you guys read a book? Do you do it in the center?
It's really the same, you know. If I'll start flipping through it, I identify what you said. You know, if it's kind of not really grasping me, then I'll kind of scan it a little bit more just to kind of get the gist of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. My sister, bless her soul, in Arlington, Virginia, sends me the Washington Post end of the year lists, and they had one whole section that she sent me on books. And the top 10 books to read from this past year, the top 10 fiction, the top 10 nonfiction, the top 10 science. Boy, am I ignorant. I had only read one book, and it was on the fiction list by a Vietnamese writer called On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous. Mm-hmm. And wow, what a book. And there's just not enough me's. You know, when I was in my 20s, you know, I had the whole world to read ahead of me. And now, when I go into Barnes & Noble or another bookstore, you know, I walk out feeling sad. Because there's a lot of books that I'm not going to be able to read.
You're never going to read them? Yeah.
Yeah.
My question was also related to book clubs. Mm-hmm. Do you participate in a book club?
I'm in one on... Sunday nights, we just finished White Fragility, Why It's So Difficult to Talk to White People About Race.
Mm.
And fascinating book.
That would be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess I always wonder, like, in a book club, if somebody really doesn't like the book, do they, you know, I mean, I suppose that becomes a topic of conversation, too.
Absolutely. Yeah. When I used to teach literature, you know, let's say a poem, I'd say, how are you responding to this poem? You know, do you like it? Do you not like it? You know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with not liking something. Help me understand why it didn't work for you.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's important. And if you're in a book club and something's not working for you, that's okay. Everything's not going to work for you. I mean, believe it, that there are people who've tried Chaucer's Canterbury Tales and didn't like it. That's all right. Or a Shakespeare play.
I can't
play.
Believe it.
Yeah, or a Shakespeare play. You know, that's okay. You know, try another one. You know, don't read Shakespeare. Read Alexander Pope, John Dryden. Read something. Just, mm-hmm. you know, it's an incredible world out there.
How many book clubs do you have running at the library? Is it just 2, or are there more that meet at the library?
Associated with the library, I think there's 3. Friends of the Library, I believe, has one.
Mm-hmm.
And then these 2 that I mentioned.
And then probably, unbeknownst to you, there are people meeting there from time to time.
Or meeting in homes or whatever. I didn't know about yours, for example.
Right,
right.
Jim.
Mm-hmm. A book club. I've never joined one, but cool.
Okay.
Cool
maybe,
idea.
Maybe you will this time.
Maybe I will.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes what we forget is we read a book, and that's usually a solitary experience. You mm-hmm. read it, and your imagination kicks into gear, and emotions and whatever. But another stage is after you have read the book, talking with others. And sometimes that mm-hmm. opens your eyes to, like, whoa. You know, I didn't realize that was happening in there, that sort of thing. You know, and then sometimes you go back to the book with a greater appreciation of the possibility of what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think book clubs are just terrific.
The first book club that we mentioned meets on the 4th Thursdays of January, February,
That's
March,
correct.
And April.
Yep.
The other one meets... When again?
First Tuesday at 7.
First Tuesday at 7.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And there may even be a third book club that meets at the library from time to time.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to keep up.
You know, I want to throw a shout out to the library. Mm-hmm. That I cannot speak highly enough of. One of the indicators, I think, of a health of a community. Go to the library. Mm-hmm. And see what you see there. You know, what feel do you get without ever speaking to a librarian? You know, just simply stand with your back up against a wall and just watch what's happening, and you can pick that up. Yeah, I think in my ideal world, a library would be open 24/7. Maybe not all the services, but, you mm-hmm. know, I mean, as a place, you know, sometimes if you can't sleep at night, you know, a well-lit library.
Our website. Okay. That's it. That's our fourth branch. So we have four branches, and that's Sandpoint, okay. Clark Fork, our website, and our bookmobile. So uh-huh. we consider those our four branches. But if you go to our website, ebonnerlibrary.org, click on digital library, there are downloadable books, downloadable, you know, audio books, all kinds of different stuff. Is, you know, if you want to learn about computers and you have, you know, a tutorial on Windows 10, which a lot of people want, that's there as well. I mean, there is a plethora of information there, and you can do it at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Well, one of the things that we're here with Mike Bauer from the East Bonner County Library. I have not made that leap from a book in my hand to a Kindle or a digital sort of. Have you guys?
Yeah. I mean, I can do that kind of reading. And the interesting thing is that I ask a lot of young people that, you know, do you like a book versus mm-hmm. a digital mm-hmm. copy of that? My daughter, for example, no, I want to feel the page in between my fingers. And that's what a lot of people really say. Yeah, it's very tactile, and that's what a book is to them. You know, and kind of some of it is just putting the screen down, you know, especially late at night. They talk about it, how it affects your sleep and everything else. Reading a book is different, you know, and it's a different type of experience. A lot of people do that.
One of the things I have found is that, like I mentioned, The Overstory by Richard Powers, you know, it had 9 short stories of the characters, and then as the characters' paths merged later on, I'd have to go back and go, okay, now this person. And whereas with a digital thing, you know, whereas I could just go, oh, chapter 3, okay, and read a little bit in there and then go back. And I like sometimes if I'm reading a scholarly book, check footnotes, you know, that mm-hmm. are endnotes, not footnotes, endnotes at the end of the book. And I find jumbling around, I'd much rather have a book in my hand. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Though I have to admit, when I travel.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you. And even when I travel, I do have a little Kindle, which is, you know, it's great for, I guess, reading magazine articles and stuff. But for reading, even when I travel, I tend to bring physical books. Which is wasteful, wasteful of space, but I always do it anyway.
I'm going to be gone for 2 weeks, and one of the major hurdles of getting gone is, what am I going to take with me to read? Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. and I always have a couple issues of New Yorkers that I can, because that's short little blurby reading, mm-hmm. Whereas, ooh, what am I going to take? I don't know. The jury is still out.
Yep.
Mike, anything else heading into the holidays with the library that we should know and our listeners should know before we send you off into the slush?
Ooh, this is the season for making things and giving them to people, especially if you're a child. I still have ornaments from my daughter
that she made
when she was 8. And, you know, she made them out of dough, you know, that whole thing, and you put them in an oven, and then she painted them, and I've got a couple of those on the tree, and they're one of my prized possessions. But we've got several... we're making beaded ornaments at 3:30 on the 16th. These are children's, and, you know, parents, of course, can come, and it's a family thing. And then holiday craft day over at the Clark Fork branch, which there's quite a bit of stuff there, and then painted ornaments here in Sandpoint at 2:30 on the 18th. So kids, families can come in and make things. Even teens, we have an art program with teens in the teen room, and they make things and, you know, take them home and you share them.
Perfect. So all of this can be found at the website at
ebonnerlibrary.org. And our events page, everything is on there. And descriptions are underneath. If you click the event, all the information will be there.
Mike,
I was just going to say, what are the hours as the holidays come up? Anything strange?
Do they change? Mm-hmm.
No, we don't change the hours.
Okay, mm-hmm. You're closed Christmas Day.
We are closed Christmas Eve and Christmas Day.
And New Year's Eve.
We'll close early at 5, okay. Like a Friday or Saturday.
Okay.
Mike, put on your galoshes and head on out.
All right,
thank you so much for sharing, especially the new book club starting the fourth Thursday in January.
You bet. Thank you.
You have a good holidays. We're going to send Mike out with, since he's with the 70s, this would be one of the songs that he would know right off the bat. This comes from Stephen Stills' first solo studio album on this date in 1970, Love the One You're With. Mm.
You're listening to, I don't have my phone. You are listening to the morning show here on 88.5 KRFY. We were just talking about a road closure we just heard
Highway
about.
Highway 200 we heard.
Yeah.
But we just heard from Stephen Stills, Love the One You're With, from his debut album, solo, on this date in 1970. That would be December the 12th.
I'm just going to invite, we locked the door.
Oops.
That's okay. The information is what we're closed due to a rock slide near, what's going on? Let's see here.
We have a phone coming.
Highway 200 near milepost 41.5 near Trestle Creek is completely blocked due to a rock slide. Okay. So that would mean, stay in Clark Fork or stay in Sandpoint.
Stay in Hope. But that highway is closed. Mm-hmm. And that comes from the Bonner County Alert System?
Yeah, from the Bonner County Sheriff's Office. So that's what's going on. Important information for your commute to and from and around the north shore of the lake there. Hey, coming up here in town next Wednesday. So next Wednesday at 5 o'clock p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority, it's time for the annual KRFY meeting and fundraiser. This is an event we put on exactly once a year, and it is the information about the radio station that you, the community, is entitled to know all about.
And financial information, and you can meet the board.
And plus, to make it a little bit more exciting, we do it at the Idaho Poor Authority. So you can have a beverage and hang out with other radio listeners and listen to music.
And voice your opinion.
That's true.
And let us know what questions you have about the radio station. Hold us accountable.
We have music provided by Marty Perrin and Doug Bond live on location. Featuring Payette Brewing Company from Boise, Idaho, which usually means that some portion of the proceeds from the Payette Brewing taps go to Panhandle Community Radio, which is, of course, a nonprofit. So please,
501c3.
Come on down, join us. We will be there Wednesday, December 18th from 5 to 8 p.m. at the Idaho Poor Authority on Cedar Street, 203 Cedar Street, and in this downtown area where you can now park right up against the
curb.
Right
up against, but on Cedar Street, Is it angled parking on both sides, or is it?
Good point.
I know it's angled in front of the IPA. Mm-hmm. The Christmas market, Panhandle Special Needs, that is continuing on until December 25th. It's 21st. It's located in the greenhouse Monday through Friday, 10 to 6, Saturday, Sunday, 10 to 4, over 20 local vendors. And this is a way to help support, as we learned last week, PISNY. Panhandle Special Needs. And if you have questions, call 208-263-7022. That's the Christmas market by Panhandle Special Needs on North Boyer.
We did talk about that last week.
Yes, we
did.
And
a good cause indeed. Lots coming up this time of year. It's always busy. Go ahead.
I have one from the Lions Club. The Lions Club said that they would like to inform residents within the Lake Ponderay School District that the Lions Club is still taking applications for toys and Christmas dinner food boxes. They may pick up and or fill out applications from the Club Den at 607 Ellis Street in Sandpoint Wednesday, Friday, and Monday until 4 p.m. Applications can also be picked up at the Health and Welfare Office at 207 Larkspur Street in Ponderé. Applications can be dropped off at the Den. So that is the Lions Club.
Lots of events coming up besides the Lions Club and the holiday market. It is the ICL holiday celebration tonight. That's the Idaho Conservation League. It is the Artist in Residence show as well. This is from 5:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. tonight at the Long Shot at 102 South Boyer Avenue. A recap of ICL's accomplishments this year, plus current and future work, all while enjoying tasty appetizers, hearty drinks, and lovely company. Plus experience the splendor of Idaho's diverse landscapes with ICL's 2019 Artist in Residence, Carl Rowe, and hear about his travels across the Gem State during his 2019 residency. It's a holiday paint and sip tonight. That's a dressed in gold holiday paint and sip party with uncorked paint. Starts at 6:30 p.m. in the Sandpoint, in the Cedar Street Bistro and Wine Bar on the Cedar Street Bridge. Live music at the Beer Hall tomorrow night. The Other White Meat from 2 to 6 p.m. Also going on in terms of live music, Mike and Shanna Thompson are at the Idaho Poor Authority tomorrow night. We have Red Blend at the winery tomorrow night, and there is a ukulele jam at Fiddlin' Reds at 111 Church Street from 6 p.m. to 8 p.m. on Friday night. It's also Sandpoint Community Day tomorrow. Lift tickets are just $10 at Schweitzer.
And our time is winding down, and if you want more information on any of these events, go to sandpointonline.com to get more detailed descriptions. Jack, I'm going to leave you, buddy.
Yeah, you are getting out of here. You're going to Washington, D.C.
on the 18th for 2 weeks, and you're going to be solo unless you can find a co-host, and I'm sure you can.
I can. Next week, I think I'm here with Susie. We're talking about the ongoing
That's on the 18th, thing. And then the 26th and the 2nd. And
exciting.
I'll see you in 2020.
I can't believe it.
believe it. But I want to wish you, as well as all of our listeners, a very happy holiday season. And coming up, Bird Note at 9 o'clock, one of the fun little top-of-the-hour blurbs that we have going out.
It is that time. Yes, happy holidays to you, Jim. And I have one last question for you. When is your birthday?
Why do you ask?
Because isn't it coming up?
No, it was... I'll throw this out. You're going to have to do a Google on it. Feast of the Immaculate Conception.
So it was probably something like yesterday or something like that. It was very recently.
Something like that.
Well, happy birthday.
Thank you very much. Number 74.
Wow.
OMG.
Well, you don't look at Jim.
Well,
you
that's
look,
why I'm on radio.
Yeah. well, happy birthday and a happy
Thank
holiday.
Thank you so much. I had a great birthday. Even took a walk in Pine Street Woods on my birthday.
Nice. Oh, very nice.
If you haven't been out there, just put on your galoshes and go.
Okay. Yes, you are listening to 88.5 KRFY. Happy holiday and a happy birthday to Jim. We'll see you in 2020. And to you, the listener, it is time for Bird Note and then Otto's Eclectic Mix all day long with a little bit of Jim's Christmas music spiced in at this time of year. Away we go. Now, this is 88.5 KRFY Ponderé.